I am Vince. Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. Vulcan Sildroar, Lord of the Cebulia. Are you the gatekeeper?
Hey, he pulls the wagon. I make the deals. You want a ride?
Wait for the sign, and all prisoners will be released. You will perish in flame! You are not the gatekeeper!
Dropping off or picking up?
Dropping off.
Just a moment.
You a Ghostbuster?
Yes.
We picked up this guy. Now we don't know what to do with him. Bellevue doesn't want him, and I'm afraid to put him in the lockup, and I know you guys are into this stuff, so I figured we'd check with you.
All right.
Are you the gatekeeper?
You better bring him inside.
You are so kind to take care of that man. You know, you are a real humanitarian.
I don't think he's human. What did you say your name was?
Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer.
According to this, his name's Lewis Tully. Lives on Central Park West. Do you want some coffee, Mr. Tully?
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Vince, you said before you were waiting for a sign. What sign are you waiting for?
Gozer the Traveler. He will come in one of the pre-chosen forms. During the rectification of the Valdrani, the Traveler came as a large and moving Torb. Then, during the third reconciliation of the last of the McKetrick supplicants, they chose a new form for him, that of a giant Slore. Many Shubs and Zools knew what it was to be roasted in the depths of the Slore that day, I can tell you.
Well, good morning. One of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies with the three actors that are probably least heralded in that movie, but great. As soon as I started thinking about this week and I am the door of the sheep, that scene came to mind, so I had to get it in there. If you remember from a few weeks ago, I have a Ghostbuster shirt and I couldn't find it anywhere. Rather disappointed I couldn't coordinate my shirt with my video. This morning we're continuing the series I Am. And over the last couple of weeks we've looked at two previous I Am statements in John. The first being I Am the bread of life. And we talked about how Jesus is everything that we need, that he sustains us fully. And our lesson in there was not to follow the crowd as the Pharisees were crying out. Last week we talked about I Am the light and how Jesus is there to light the way for us both internally and externally. And my call for us last week was to break the law. And so this week we're going to look at the I Am statement, I am the door of the sheep, or I am the gate for the sheep, depending on your translation. So what I would like to do is go ahead and read chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. To start off with, and then we'll kind of dig in a little bit more. Verse 1, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all of your people. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and the wonderful words that we have because of him and his sacrifice. Lord, I just ask as we meet in your house, and in your presence, that you rain down on us just your grace and knowledge, and that this few minutes together might be something that really spurs us on and opens our eyes and lets us peek behind the veil just a little bit more. We ask these things in your son's name. So whether you are, try that again. There was a man, and he was a construction worker, and he injured himself. And he goes to the foreman. The foreman says, go to the clinic, get it checked out. And so he goes to the clinic, walks in the front door. He'd never been there before, and he sees a desk, two empty chairs, and two doors. The first door says injury. The second door says illness. So he looks at his thumb. He goes through the injury door, walks through that door, and again he sees an empty desk, two chairs, and two doors. And one of them says treatment, and the other says therapy. And so he goes to the treatment door. And the next room he goes into, he finds himself in another room with another desk and another two empty chairs and another two doors. And on the doors it says major and minor. So he thinks about it for a moment, walks through the door that says minor, and he winds up back in the parking lot. He goes back to the workplace, and the foreman says, they get you checked out. He said, well, I don't know, but that's the most efficient clinic I've ever been to. Whether you feel like you're Vince Tully from Ghostbusters looking for the gatekeeper, whether you feel like you are the construction worker with an injured finger looking for the right treatment, or if you find yourself thinking that you're a Pharisee who is trying to understand what Jesus is saying, I think that this I am statement can do a lot for us. We talk about where we are in John. Over the last couple of weeks, we've gone through several of the books. Last week, we were in John 8, where we were at the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus was talking to the Pharisee. And we went to John 9 after that. And in John 9, he healed the blind man. And after healing the blind man on the Sabbath, the Pharisee round up the blind man, and they're trying to collect evidence and witnesses to convict Jesus. And in the process of doing that, the Pharisees actually wind up kicking the blind man out of the church or out of the synagogue as a result of him accusing the Pharisee of wanting to be one of Jesus' followers. So as we pick up in the beginning of chapter 10, there's no reason, no indication that this isn't just a continuation of the conversation that Jesus was having with the blind man once he found him after he had been kicked out of the church. And we had the wonderful verses that wrapped us up last week where the blind man comes to Jesus and Jesus reveals himself and the blind man says, let me worship you. And so we pick up in chapter 10, and our key verse for this week is, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And that is the English Standard Version. We start out with, very truly I tell you, Pharisee, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate or the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. A little bit about sheep pens in those days. There were two scenarios where the sheep would be held. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the sheep pen that was in the village or near the houses. You would have areas that are containing the sheep, and so they use the word sheep pen or sheep fold interchangeably. And these were pretty secure structures, right? They had walls, there was an actual gate, and there was typically a gatekeeper. So when we talk about this first illustration, I'm kind of talking in the context of a more organized pen or a more organized fold. In verse 2, it says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And so the shepherd would bring the sheep in. Again, they're at home, and there'd be a hired hand who stood there, and he literally stood by the gate, and he was the gatekeeper. I'm going to talk about three aspects of the door this morning, and the first one is the door is authority. And so when I think about doors in my life, I think about the authority that they represent. And this is very literally an aspect of what Jesus was saying when he came to say that I am the door. He was saying that he is the authority. He has the authority to be that door. In the system of religion that they had set up at this time, the Pharisees had really put themselves in that place. The Pharisees had put themselves in the place of authority in the church. When I think about doors, I think about the door to my CEO's office. and what that represents. Probably one of the most powerful doors that you never see from the inside, but only the outside is the door to the Oval Office, right? You think about that door representing a tremendous amount of authority. So Jesus is putting himself there to say that he has that authority. He is able to be the door. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee in front of him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And really, this is a lot about Jesus as a shepherd, and I'm going to talk more about that next week. When we look at verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And I know that I've said this a few times. Thank goodness that Jesus knows that I don't listen or I don't catch the first thing around. So sometimes he's got to tell it to me pretty plainly, which is what he is doing here. So the other side of the door and the sheepfold and the pen is when the shepherd would be out in the wild. And so the shepherd would take his flock out, and they would go across the pasture land. And across the pasture land, they would have these pens set up that would be nothing more than stacked stone with a ring with thorns across there, like old school barbed wire. And there would be an opening. And so the flock would go into the opening, and the shepherd would literally lay across the opening, and the sheep would not cross them. And so that's another way that Jesus was talking about himself as the door, is that he was laying across that opening. And that is the second point this morning, is that the door is access. And through Jesus, we have that access. Not only does he have the authority to be there, but he is also the access that is represented there. And I think that while authority is a pretty obvious analogy for a door, you also have probably the more common one, which is access. And I've spent a lot of my life trying to get indoors that I have no access to, right? As a young man, I spent time trying to get into nightclubs that I wasn't old enough to get into, and that door represented access. Sometimes there was a bodyguard who was the door, right? And I couldn't get by him. So other doors that I've tried to get into in my life, once I actually could get into the club, I wanted to get into the VIP room, right? And that was closed off to me, that I had no access to that. Professionally, maybe doors trying to get into that would require a professional certification or a professional degree. It's a pretty common thing for us to say that that door is closed to me. I can't get through that door. The door is locked. One of the things that I encourage my kids to do as they come up through education is to realize that for some things, those doors are locked, and the only way to get through them is education. So this idea of Jesus is the access for us to get outside of the fold and to have that communion with God really rings true with me. So I have a confession. There were two messages today, right? I had a message on Monday, as soon as I started looking at this, that was about doors and all the doors that we have in our life. And I had this thought that when Sarah was up here a couple of weeks ago and she was talking about the Bronx, and she was talking about how these young people's lives in the Bronx were made up of hundreds and thousands of choices that they make every single minute of every single day. And I was like, man, that's a wonderful analogy for the doors that we have in our life. And there are these doors that we can walk through. And I had this great message in my mind. And I walked through Monday night, Tuesday. I walked through the door of ease, right? So I walked through the door that said, oh, I got that message down, right? I know exactly what I'm going to say. And Tuesday night, Jennifer's like, you going to work on your message? I got it. It's right here. It's right there. I got it. And Wednesday came around, first week of school, so it was, you know, just insanity. And I kept walking through that door of I got it. I kept walking through the door of I got it. And there's another door over there that had like study and preparation written on it. And I just kept going left. And I kept walking through the other door. Wednesday night comes and goes. Jennifer's kind of looking at me cross on the couch while I'm watching probably Big Brother or something. And Thursday comes, and she's like, well, you know, tomorrow is football, and I know you're not going to be home then. And in yet another booster club for orchestra, I had signed up to be at Martin at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, then back from 10 to 1. And she's like, it's Thursday night. You need to get this done. It's here. I know this message that I'm going to give. I've got Sarah's illustration, and there are these doors, and I got it. And so Thursday night, whittled it away. I think I actually opened the computer to start to prepare, but I wasn't ready. And so Thursday came, Friday came, football game, awesome one. Saturday morning, 6:15, it goes off. Get home at about, 1:30 yesterday afternoon. And I sit down at the computer to write the message that I got, and I didn't have it. I didn't have it at all. I spent yesterday from 2 o'clock till probably 9:30 or 10 o'clock last night when I have this message, right? The message that says authority and access. And the next point is really good. But I walked through a door on Monday that was an easy door to walk through. And that's the real message that's here. It's not about the door as authority or the door as access or some of the other things. It's about the decisions that we're making on a regular basis. And the fact that our life is filled with doors. And so before I get back into the message that I brought, I'm going to tell you the heart of the message that I wanted to tell you, which is pick the right door. Jesus is right there. God is right there. There's a door there that's the right door to go through. And I wish I had better examples, and I wish I had scripture references. But I walked through the lazy door on Monday, and hopefully my confession will earn me a little grace. So, back to our regularly scheduled. That wasn't there, right? I had to say it, though, because the other message was too good. I couldn't just ignore it. All right, so verse 8, we'll come back to reality. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find passage. And again, we see the third time that Jesus says that I am the door. And so my third point here is that the door is always open. We can see there that Jesus talks about how anyone who enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find passage. And many times in my life, and you guys have probably shared the same experience, as you walk through a door and two steps through the door, you realize that it's going to lock behind you, right? And it's like slow motion. You walk through, you're like, oh, no. When you try to turn around and get there, but you're locked out, that is far from the truth with Jesus, right? Once we accept him as our Savior and we walk through that door, he has the authority and he's granted us the access so we can come in and out. We can be with him and we can go outside. We can find pasture. We can find those things that we need. That door does not lock behind us. The door is always open. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And in all of this, this is a wonderful way to close my very short message this morning. And it is that we have abundance in Jesus, that it's not a limited pasture. It's not a one-way trip. It's not somebody that we're going through that doesn't have the authority to give us everything we want. It's not somebody that doesn't have the ability to give us access. But Jesus loves us, and he came to give us the opportunity to know him, to know his Father, and to live abundantly. Thank you, guys.